Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that's stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Hello, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast, and I think my guest is on. I'm not sure, but I'll go to her in a minute. I just want to tell you a few things of what's going on. Of course, the issue for Mystic Living today is up, and January 1st issue, I will be celebrating 25 years online with it. So we are converting it into a flip magazine. The text one will be there, but also the flip. It'll be in the center of the page. My gal is working on it. It's beautiful. And we have a countdown going on social media and all that kind of good stuff. I'm just really blessed. 25 years is a really long time to be online. And I can remember the days when I had to beg people to send me stuff. Send me anything, an article, write something, you know. It was very small, but now it's really big. I don't even have to ask for anything. It just comes through all the time. So if you have something, you can send it to StarsCast, S-C-A-R-Z like in zebra, C-A-S-T like in Tom, at mysticlivingtoday.com. I'm taking things right now. I'm asking, I just sent something out because I need everything done early because this is the first issue of this, so it's taking us some time. You know, we want to put it in right. Once it's done, the second issue will be a breeze. Because you just, the layout will be there and everything, it's going to be wonderful. So send that in. I take excerpts from books. I take poetry, articles, and I mean articles can be, doesn't have to be metaphysical. You know, just because it's Mystic Living Today, it can be anything in good taste. I've had people write stuff on golf, for example, so it can be anything. But make sure you send an image with it. If not, I will write you back and say I need an image. Now, on to stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now, we have a special going on. I don't know how long I'm going to keep it. Probably a while. $1.99 a minute, all readings. It doesn't matter if you are been with a site for 12 years because it is 12 years old. Gosh, I've been online a long time doing all this. Huh? Must be cuckoo. I'm losing my voice, but I'm excited to talk to my guest. I really, really am. So we will get to her in a minute. Now, also coming soon will be phone readings. You'll be able to dial an 800 number and use the extension. I have many readers coming on board because they're coming from other sites. I guess I must be somebody they want to work for. You know, I've been doing this a long time, and, you know, I want to toot my horn. I am a good boss. I really, really am. I love people. I love what I do, obviously, for doing all of this for such a long time. So without further ado, I'm going to see Joan. Is this you on? Hello? Ooh, maybe this is not Joan. I don't know. Maybe she's not on. Joan, is that you? Okay, who's online with me? Who is calling? Who is on the dashboard here? Oh, they hung up. So I don't know. I don't know where my guest is. So you're going to have to listen to me for a minute while I contact her publicist and find out. She may have had some trouble with her phone. That's possible. But I'm going to send a quick little thing here. Oh, now this might be her.
Can you hear me?
Hello, hello there. Is this my guest, Joan?
Hello.
Joan, how are
this
you?
Is me.
This is
I'm
me.
Good. How are you?
Okay, good. Well, I didn't even get to introduce you yet, but this is my guest today. She's an author and an animal communicator. And you pronounce your last name Ranquette or Ranquette?
Ranquette. But you know what?
Okay. Okay, Ranquette, like banquet. Ranquette,
yes.
Right? Ah, there we go. Anyways, I'm so excited to talk to you. I have my cat laying over here. He follows me around like a dog.
We're
going to talk all about your stuff, your site, and everything that you've done. Now, animal communicator, that's interesting. But I want to talk also about your book that you've done. Tell me, what does an animal communicator do?
Oh.
Good question, huh?
Well, yeah. We communicate with animals, but we communicate via telepathy. So getting a sense of the pictures, words, and feelings from the animal. And it is, you know, on the one hand, it is you use some intuition, but on the other hand, it's almost like learning French, right? It's just another language. It's actually the form of communication that we did when we were babies. We would communicate through feelings, through words, through pictures, and
through touch.
Our caregivers responded. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Through touch also.
Yeah, that's another form. So eventually, you know, we learned language and we lost kind of the telepathy in the way that we knew it. So it went away, but everybody has it. It's really, I liken it to the telepathic muscle. I think we all have that muscle. So when you're in, you know, when you're practicing a lot, it's really easy to communicate, you know, to communicate with animals. And when you get away from it, I mean, unless you've been doing it a long time. I love that you, I listened to your opening about the 25 years and the 10 years online. It's like, yep, I'm sending you a cheers with my coffee cup. Same here, didn't you?
Yeah. It's amazing, hasn't it? But actually, I started back in 1998 with my first site. And before that, I worked for America Online. So I've been doing this for many years. But I have three sites, but the two, like my one site, planetstar.com, that's been around. That is the corporate name. That's been around since 1998. But I don't, Joan, it's amazing. We must be doing something right, you know, because we keep doing this. And I know even for you, I mean, just the whole thing, 25 years for you. I mean, that's a long time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, goodness gracious.
Yeah.
So people, anybody that's listening and that will listen to this, because I will push it out after the show is done, you have to understand that is devotion. That is love. That is we care. And you and I are in the same, walking the same path. It doesn't matter that you're with animals and I'm with people. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
It's the same. You have to have something inside you. I always tell people, and you probably feel the same, we never give up until we leave Earth. And then I wonder if we'll even give up then, because we'll be working from the beyond. But anyways, let's get to you. You've been working with animals for 25 years. I have some stories to tell you about my life. I was bit by my dog on my face. I don't know if we should start off with that or you want to discuss your new book first. This is your show. This is about you. However you want to begin is fine with me, really.
Well, I'd love to hear, because I can certainly talk about all the things that my new book is about, around what you're saying. So what happened with the dog bite?
Okay, well, I had a spaniel. It wasn't my first dog, and we got her as a puppy. What happened is that I got very, very ill. I almost died that summer. And so I was bedridden most of the time. And I could only eat small meals, okay? So, you know, she would jump, her name was Sandy. She would jump on the bed and lay at by my feet. Well, it was my fault. I made the mistake. I put something in front of her to eat, but I reached over her head, and she spun up at me twice. and I had to go to emergency. They thought I was in a car accident. My face, I have no scars, though, you see, so I am blessed. I already know it. There was a plastic surgeon on duty at the time in emergency. It was Labor Day evening. And the nurse came in and she says, oh, well, she said, he won't stitch that up. And I'm looking at her and I'm thinking, well, we're going to have a little chat. So he came in, then he came in and he said, I have somebody I have to take care of. I have to actually send them to another hospital. I'll be right back. He came in and he looked at it. And again, I was so fortunate he was a plastic surgeon. He said, okay, I had a big gash on my right cheek, probably in line with the end of my nose, right there in the center. Then I had another one on the other side because she hit me twice. And he said, okay, I'm going to put in a very few stitches. And he said, and I'm going to tell you why. He said, there's a misconception that, oh, well, it needs 10 stitches to tie it up. He said, because it's going to leave a scar. When you do something on the face, you do minimal, stitches, minimal. So I had a total of 9 for both sides. Well, you know, and I was ill at the same time. And he said, I want them out. Now, that was Labor Day. He said, I want them out. This is day one. I want them out in 3 days, so that would be day 3. So 2 days after that, I called my doctor, and I went in, and he said, he wants them out now? And I said, yes, that's what he said. He said, well, I guess I can really understand that. And these doctors I had were, I had tremendous doctors when I was really ill. And he said, okay. He said, we'll take them out. And I have no scars, Joan, on my face, not one.
That's amazing.
Well, it is amazing, but you see, the dog, she would show her teeth around food, and she really would only let my husband, and he passed away, my husband bathe her. She was temperamental. She wasn't a pure spaniel. She looked like one, but she had an evil side to her. So after that happened to me, and you're probably going to talk about this, from that day on, I watch dogs. I don't lean over and pat a dog and put my face in her face or his face. I'll ask the owner, does your dog, is she or he friendly? I always ask questions. It's inbred in me. I'm so very careful. And I've had cats now. I don't have a dog here. I never had a dog here. This was when I lived in Michigan. But, you know, she ran under the bed after she did that right away. She knew she was wrong. But I stayed away from her. I had to. I didn't trust her. So, you know, something like that, I'm sure a lot of people listening can relate. Oh, yeah, my dog bit me on my hand Now, I don't know, had I known you, I probably would have been spared a lot of anguish because you could have guided me through connecting with her again. But she was never really my dog. She belonged to my husband. I think you can attest to this. Sometimes animals are so close to one person, that's it. But my cat, I have another story about my cat. He's a Maine Coon. He's big. But I really believe that. So what's your take on that? I mean, was there any way that I could have – I mean, I knew she was temperamental because she would show her teeth. And I made the mistake, forgetting, not feeling well. I don't know. So it was not just her fault. It was also my fault. So how should I have handled that after, or what do you think happened? Did she hate me? No, I don't think she hated
no.
me.
No. No, you know, I mean, it's really interesting because I have a whole school for animal communication and energy healing, and I love what you said. Like, you then learned that you can't just go touch any dog on the head, right? Like,
correct.
Our ideas of animals are so wrapped around our needs that we forget who they are, and that is. It brought you to me, one of the most valuable lessons of all. It's like, they've got to have their own agency. They've got to have their own space. They've got to have their own, you know, their own everything. And she, what a great dog that she told you about her, this is my comfort zone.
Right.
I went to, and it, if everybody could have read those signs, that we wouldn't have so many dogs being dumped back into the shelter.
I wasn't really
thinking
either. You know, Joan, I just reacted because, and had I been probably in a normal state of mind and physical state, I would not have gone up and over her head in front of her.
Yeah,
I would have been.
Course.
I would have waited till she was on the floor and set it down. It was on a dish. Set it down and backed away because, and I knew she showed her teeth all the time. She was always doing that. She was, I mean, so part of it was my fault. So people listening, you should, like you say, Joan, you should realize that this is a dog, you know, but from now on, the neighbor has two big huskies and, you know, he had them out beside him. And I said, oh, they're so beautiful. I said, are they friendly? I ask the right questions now. I always approach dogs in the proper way. I trust my deer that I feed more than I trust a dog. But anyways, he said, you know, I'm happy you're asking. He said, because so many people just go up and want to pet a dog. I said, oh, well, and I told him about my experience. He said, well, you see, he said, you learned a valuable lesson.
I can't even tell you how important that is because we just kind of consume them. Like we have to take them in. We have to touch them. We have to, you know, it's like if somebody came up and touched me on the head, I'd probably accidentally punch them, you know?
And then I'll tell you about my cat. But so had this have happened and I knew you and I called you, I set up an appointment, I said, Joan, what do I do with this dog? I mean, everybody said, well, did you put her down? No, I didn't. I'll tell you another story about my son's dog. But, you know, no. Everybody said, well, you're going to put her down, right? I said, no, I'm going to stay away from her.
Yeah.
You know, she loved my husband.
Yeah.
Now, see, I was a female. She was
too.
A female. Huh?
She probably loved you, too.
Probably. Except she had sent me signals before, and I didn't pay attention. But had it been another time, I would never have taken the dish and gone up over her head. She was facing, like, the wall, for example, up over her head and set it down. She didn't even take anything. She just spun around and bit me twice. That was it. And, you know, so I just always watched her. We kept her a really long time. I just, you know, I would feed her. I would talk nice to her, but I would never pet her, and I would never put my face to her ever. I never got that close to her ever again. And I don't know, but what would you have told me, Natalie?
What I would have done is exactly what my new book is about. I would have done EFT with you, and then we would have done EFT with the dog. And created a little more space for her to trust people more, and created a space for you to release the trauma from it. And then we would have communicated with her and found out why she was so, you know, protective of herself and protective of food. And we would have done EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, which is my new book. But I have to tell you real quick, I take people on wildlife trips, and we were just in Zimbabwe, and our guides, you know, the guides on these trips are like, it's like getting a PhD in naturalist course.
Yes,
you know?
I envy you too. Yes.
So one of the guides gave me this little, he created a little chart for me that I, because the same thing applies out in the wild as it does in our home. And that is that everybody, and it's up to us to sort out who, what it is, everybody has a comfort zone. And that comfort zone for a lion may be, you know, the size of a football field. And that comfort zone for the deer in your neighborhood because you feel safe to them may be very close. But the truth is everybody has a comfort zone. And in there, they send a signal of alert, and then the next signal is warning, and then the next signal is, okay, I have to react now. So
right.
there were probably little signals all the way along. You know, here was the alert, here was the warning. Uh-oh, you've
now crossed
the line.
Yeah, she showed her teeth.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's,
and I got
you know,
her from a shelter, and she was a great puppy. But, and you know, I you know, I'll tell you about my cat, Muji, the boss of the house.
Mm-hmm.
A Maine Coon is big. Do you know that anybody that comes in my house, my son, my granddaughter, it doesn't matter who it is, he arches his back and hisses at them. And, now they know because I'll say to them, he's saying to you, this is my house, this is my mom, don't take your shoes off, you're not staying long. And that's the truth with him. Yeah, that's the truth with him, Joan. He is now, right, and you know, he's older, he's looking out the window right now. He's 14, very healthy so far, getting older, you know, he's moving a little slower, blah, blah, blah. But now I've noticed he's with me wherever I go. He's right beside me. I mean, he walks with me like hazes me. And during the night sometimes, not always, he'll come on the bed. He doesn't always sleep on the bed now. He'll come on the pillow. He makes a real, he purrs, you know, loud, so I know it's him. He doesn't startle me. And he lays on my pillow with me. Now, he doesn't do this all the time. I mean, I like when he does that. I'll say his name and I'll talk to him. You let him know that I know he's there. And I touch him and he's fine. Doesn't try to bite me. And then he just lays down and kind of pushes against me on my pillow next to my head. Now, this cat I got from my vet. But he's bossy. He will come to me, and you probably know cats too. He'll come to me, and he'll sit there, and he'll stare at me, and I'll look, and I'll say, okay, his name is Muji. Muji, you must want something. Okay, show me. Now he'll take me into another room and show me. I mean, it's like talking to a person. But he's only developed these skills since he's gotten older. He wasn't like this when he was like 5, 6, 7, 8. But he's a big cat. Maine Coons are big cats. They have M on their forehead for monster. A friend told me that, and it is true. But I don't know why he wants to be near me. See, he knows I'm talking about him because he's looking up at me, over to me. I don't know why all of a sudden he feels this need. It's almost like a protective state that he gets in. And if I get up, and I go to, like, the kitchen, well, I can look down, and there he is. He's doing it all the time. I mean, has something changed for him? I mean, how do you, you know. Now, he never hissed at me. He used to at one time if I would, my living room is next to my bedroom. So if I would get up in the dark, now, you know, I get up, turn the light off, and then walk to my bedroom, he would attack me. And I figured it out. I figured out why. He thought I was a stranger going into his mom. And because he couldn't see me. It was in the dark, although they could see well, but he couldn't really see me. So now what I do, I have to you have to analyze your pets. And you're probably smiling.
Mm-hmm.
You do. Because I figured it out. Now what I do is I sit on the couch with him, and I wait till he's sound asleep. I get everything done, so all I have to do is get up. Now he's in a deep sleep. Get up, walk around, turn the light off, go into the bedroom and close the door. I open the door after I take my bath with it because I don't want him ever jumping in the tub with water because he'd be petrified. So I protect him like that. It's worked out every time. But he used to come and attack me. because he didn't know who I was, because I kept thinking, he's so sweet to me during the day. What is wrong? Then I analyzed it, and I thought, okay, there's got to be a reason for this. And so what do you think? What do you think of it? Would you think I'm right? He thought I was a stranger going in to where his mom is. My mom goes in there. He's very protective of me.
Well, it sounds like he really loves you.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and you probably heard about Maine Coons always have one owner. I mean, one person that they go to. I mean, he doesn't even rub up against anybody else. He does not want to, and he's always been like that. I don't want to be bothered with you. Go away. He's like a person. he loves me. I know he does, you know. But isn't it funny how they are? People are going to listen to this and say,
so
yep,
funny.
I got a cat like that. I got a dog like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I mean, I love that you analyze everything with him, because it's like it is a relationship. They are family members.
They are. They're not just somebody that you throw a little thing to or play, you know, have a ball or, you know, and play games with them. They have senses about them. I wish I would have talked to you way back when, but with him, I kind of figured it out with him, especially this thing about me shutting the light off, and he was awake, because he saw this figure going in, and he didn't like it. He thought something bad. I mean, he was not feeling good about how I was doing. He didn't realize it was me. And now I wait until he's really, really asleep, and I don't put myself through that, and I don't put him through it. And I think people need to do that. You have to understand what they're doing. Don't aggravate them. I hate people that tease their pets. I mean, they tease the heck out of them.
Yeah.
Would you want somebody to do that to you? No. No.
No.
And my dear, you'll love this one about my dear, and then we got to get into you, because I don't like keep talking about myself. I have a herd of deer that I feed at night. I have a big one that's a male. I call him Maximus, because he's got the biggest set of antlers you couldn't imagine. And he's been coming here for a couple of years. But what's happened now with them, especially the younger ones. I have one. She'll actually come on my porch to my door wall and look in my window in my door wall to see if I'm getting their stuff ready. It's like I have a relationship with them, and her especially. Now, she only started doing that it gets dark earlier. I'm in South Carolina, so it gets dark earlier. So they come about sometimes 5:30, like yesterday, they were here in the light, and, you know, and I'm talking to them real gently, you have to come back later. I don't feed you till it gets dark. For one thing, I don't want my neighbors to know that I'm feeding them. It's on my property, but still, I don't want anybody to worry about it. I have three big bowls. I have carrots and apples, corn, and these pellets that I give them. It's very nourishing. And right now I really load it up, because I know it's tough on them, because they can't forage all the greenery. You know, the leaves are not as plentiful and all of that. And I'm telling you, if I say back up, they back up. They know me. Well, some of them have been coming for two and a half years now. And the littler ones, of course, not as long, maybe not quite a year. I don't have any fawns. But I have, younger ones that might be a year, year and a half. But isn't that amazing? I'm in seventh heaven with them. And then over the spring and summer and now, I have the mallards that come with their babies. I mean, I don't even know what I am. I don't know. Susie Farm, I don't know what I am, but I just love it. You know, it's wonderful, Joan. Animals, and they don't have to be your pets, but you can respect them, and you can just love them, and they know. They know. Sure, I feed them, but they're there anyhow. They don't go to anybody else. nope, we're going to go to mom's. Mom's got our food. Mom's going to take care of us. And I talk real gentle to them when they're all out there. Now, like I said, there's probably 10 of them. But I'm careful now. This is the key, and you're going to agree with me. They're still animals. They could charge me. I'm only 5'2", 100 pounds. I'm not very big, and I could really get hurt. So when I go out there, I do one bowl at a time, and I walk up gently, and I'll say, well, okay, here we are. And if another one, she's always up close. She's fearless. She knows what I am and who I am. And I trust her almost, not totally. But I'll say, you need to back up now. Come on, girls. Come on, boys. You got to back up. So I can put, and they back up and wait for me to leave that nearness of the bowl. And then I'll go get another one, and then I get the third one. Now, if you can't tell me I don't have communication with those animals, I tell you you're wrong, because I do. They know. So that's the same thing with any kind of pet, and you know that. And that's what your book is about. You treat them as if you have a relationship, as if it's a good friend. Would you tease a good friend and throw things at him and make him go fetch? And, oh, some people are just so, you know, I don't know. So tell us about your book. That's enough about me. Those are my stories, but they're beautiful stories, aren't they?
They're beautiful stories, yeah. Yeah.
So your book came out spring of 2023, right?
Yeah, in June. Yeah, and it's
okay.
It's now, called Emotional Freedom Technique, yeah, for animals and their humans.
Emotional techniques, I like that.
Yeah, Emotional Freedom Technique.
Freedom techniques. And people should probably get your book if they have a pet. I also had an African Grey that talked of a storm. He's the only one that would let me put my hand in his cage. But
awesome.
Everybody, and I'm going to write this at the end of the show when I push this out. Everybody should get her book if you have a pet. I told everybody on LinkedIn about this before the show. I pushed it out this morning.
Thank you.
You're going to love this. If you have a pet, you need to listen. You can call in and ask questions. Because how many people don't have pets or haven't had one? I guess there are some people, I don't know.
Yeah, not very many.
So what is in this book? What all the good things that are in your book?
The book is about EFT, or Emotional Freedom Technique, which is a technique that helps to calm, helps to shift behaviors, helps to release fears, all sorts of different, the technique does a lot. But in the book, I also go over a lot of basic information about how a dog gets to the point of being reactive, or, you know, it may have been like your dog growing up, or your dog with your husband may have been a dog who had, you know, been territorial at the shelter, and it just...
Could be.
She never let it go, you know. So
right.
There's a lot of stuff in there about just basic behavior and understanding that, a little bit about communication, but mostly it's about this technique, Emotional Freedom Technique. So the technique is, have you ever heard of EFT? Have you done?
No. Well, I've got an article here already that I got from Angela, and of course I got all the information from her on you. So that was the first. I had never heard of it before then.
Okay, so EFT is tapping on specific points. There's a sequence that you follow, where you tap along on the specific acupressure points that help to calm. So the acupressure points are connected to meridians, which meridians are connected to organs. And in traditional Chinese medicine, they believe that the organ systems are connected to emotions. And
mm-hmm.
so each of these points, if you've ever had acupuncture, you know, some points.
I have had it done, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, some stimulate, some tonify and cleanse, and some points calm. And so these are all calming points. And what happens is, if you're telling a challenging story with a lot of emotional triggers and you're tapping on these feel-good points, eventually the story starts to release and you still remember the event, but you aren't as triggered by it, right? So like you would remember that you want to be mindful of other people's dogs and not go pet them in their head unless you ask. But you also might not feel that little bit of, in your body that you might feel when you approach a dog. So all these things, the EFT tapping helps with all sorts of challenges. You know, if you're nervous around horses or all of those things. So what I found early on was that, you know, back when I had my first little website in 1998 and all of that, a lot of people were had a very big emotional response to their animal. So let's say if your dog had bitten someone else, you would be nervous around the dog.
I'd be mortified. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So what happens then is that accidentally, it's not your fault, would compound the situation, the nervousness that the dog feels. So then if we tapped with you, you would calm down, and then we would tap with the animal and hopefully take away the triggers for the animal about what, you know, we would find out through animal communication why it was happening. And then through the tapping, we would release the emotions, the triggers, the, you know, help them, you know, just process the history differently. And then on top of it all, it, you know, it just starts to deepen the bond between the person and the animal. So that's already a great thing. But, you know, it gives a person a different perspective, right? Like, it's like stepping back and looking at that dog from when you were little, when you were married. If you stepped back and looked at what that situation was, which you have done, which is amazing, because a lot of people might still kind of victimize themselves in that situation. But instead, you've looked back and said, you know what, she told me all along. She told me she needed a great amount of space with food, period, end of story. Could I have worked on that with training? Yeah, maybe. But I also want to respect her personhood, you know? So that is what you did. So, but for people that are still sort of in their emotion, the EFT, emotional freedom technique, helps them step back and have a little perspective on the situation that they maybe didn't have before, and then they're able to process it much differently. So that's the long and short of it. In the book, I have all the tapping charts for the human and the animal.
Oh, wow.
I also have like these little investigation scripts, like to get to the emotion. So it's like you ask yourself, well, how do I feel around dogs? Or, you know what I mean? When I encounter a new dog, I feel blank, right? And you
careful.
Would fill in the blank.
So, I feel careful.
Yeah, exactly. So
it doesn't mean that I don't admire them. And it's just that it makes you kind of step back and look, okay, pretty dog, sweet, looks really sweet, but there was a but.
Yeah.
I would not, and I have done this now with his huskies. He said, well, okay, he said, let's, and they're beautiful dogs, and they're so sweet. However, you know, he respected what I told him. He said, okay, I'm going to, let's see what one of them does if I come next to you. He's a fireman, you know, so we were doing a test out there, and that dog came up, and he said, you're just standing still. I said, that's right. I said, first of all, I don't know your dog. Second of all, she doesn't know me. Third, she's really big, and she could jump and knock me over. And I said, I'm very respectful of both of them, and especially her because she was near me. And I never did touch the dog because there's something about trust. When you have something happen to you like that, you know, you imagine your hand going over to the top of the head to rub the dog's head. Now, with a cat, my cat does not like you to do that. I already know that. You never go over a cat's head and rub his head. My cat likes to be rubbed on the back. My cat does not like to be rubbed behind the ears. But you know, too, Joan, I think you have to watch what the animal wants and doesn't want. You're going to know right away. As soon as you get that animal, you're going to know because it's in them, and that's the way it is. Now, with him, now, see, I put a blanket in my office. I'm in my office. I put a blanket there. He's in seventh heaven. He's looking at me thinking, oh, yeah, she's blabbering on the phone. I'm going to lay down right here. And I'm going to watch her. And that's exactly what he does. He's like having a dog. But he's not like this with anybody else. It's only me. I'm his mom. That's it. Like I said, don't take your shoes off. Don't plan on staying because you're not going to. I'm going to make you leave. So he's like, he has ownership. Now, do animals have ownership? Is that why some of them are so strong in feelings? I mean,
absolutely.
I don't know.
I mean, that is what makes them, you know, become territorial over things or people or food.
And that's what he is. That's what he is. And he's probably always been like this, but I didn't see it as much. Like when he was a kitten. I mean, when he was a kitten, he was just, oh, he'd sit on my lap and blah, blah, blah. But you see, what he wanted that nurturing when he was a kitten. And I got him when he was a kitten. I got him from my vet. My vet called because I had to have one of my cats ended up getting really, really sick. And he called and he said, I have a kitten here for you. Because I told him, I said, I will never seek out an animal. They have to find me. And he thought that was strange. So he called me. He says, I found one. He said, I want you to come up here. So, and I said, but why? Why, Dr. Parker? He said, because this cat is really purring and really loving and sweet. And I think your name is on it. So I went up there. Just take the kitten for a weekend. Well, that's all it took, Joan. Keep the kitten for a weekend, right? And he's been here ever since. And, but I'm very respectful of him. After he did a few things to me and after I figured out why he was doing it, because he doesn't do that when I'm walking around now, he only did it when I shut the light off and he couldn't really see that it was me. And that was it. I knew it. I told my son that. He said, well, it makes kind of sense, doesn't it? Yes, like a stranger going in where his mom is. Oh, no, 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 you're not going to go in there. No. He treats you, he's like a dog in a sense, only he's, I don't know how much he weighs, 19 pounds or something. He's big. He's heavy. And so I think your book will probably help people and understand. You have to understand your pet, right? You have to understand. Watch for the signs. Watch how they're behaving. And we have a caller. Maybe somebody wants to ask you a question. Hold on here. Let me see about a pet. Wouldn't this be great? I would love it. I'd love to hear you. You know so much. Hi, you're live on the air with Joan. You have a question for her?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Joan, do you think that when animals pass, that they go to heaven?
That's such a great question. I do. I think that they. I have a TEDx talk about the Rainbow Bridge. I mean, I feel like they, it depends on your belief. I mean, I believe they are in a state of love, whether that's heaven or some place where they reincarnate. But yeah, I believe that they absolutely have an evolution, if you will, of their and a transformation of their soul.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because I know a lot of people say that they don't have souls, and I disagree firmly on that one.
Me too. And even I grew up Catholic, and I remember fighting with the nuns at 6 years old. And then recently this Pope says that, oh, wait, they do go to heaven. And so, and they do have souls. So I was, you know, I'm not as Catholic anymore, but I certainly love that this Pope knows what he's talking about.
Right. Because I lost my sound in August. It's been really, really hard.
And I know who this caller is, too. She's a very dear friend of mine. We won't say her name, but yes, she. I'm so. I just sent her a message. I said, "You called," and it's true. She, you know, you like my son too. Lost his dog, a boxer, and oh my God, the trauma in that house, the feeling in that house, and this lady that just called, she. You could feel it through the screen when we would type to each other. It's and like she said, she'll never get over Sam. Never. How do you deal with that, Joan? How do you deal with that grief? It's like losing a person. You get this feeling inside and you can't stop crying. How do you deal with that, Joan? What do you do?
Well, I mean, personally, I think that one of the best things to do is to go ahead and cry, and then I think there's, again, this technique that I do, EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, is a way of releasing the grief, and I think for a lot of us, we are in this space because we have had other losses that we haven't acknowledged, so when we have this pure loss, right? If we lose a parent, there were good days, there were bad days. When we lose people, there's complications with the loss. I mean, of course, we love them, but, you know, every day wasn't sunny. But with our animals are pretty pure. And that doesn't mean that, you know, as a puppy, they weren't naughty, or as a kitten, they weren't wild. But there's just such a purity of spirit there that to lose that one being that's that devoted to you, to lose that one being that's that connected to you, like you may not have that kind of connection with humans, like that is such a loss that it almost feels irreparable, but it is through time. And August just isn't that long ago, and this is probably the first time this, you know, if the caller is still here, that you're going through the holidays. Yeah,
she's still here.
You're probably going through the holidays for the first time without Sam. I mean, this is just, it's huge.
Yeah, I have his urn beside my bed, and every night we tell him good night and we kiss his urn. I mean, it's just really, really hard. I mean, we've got another puppy, and we love her, but, you know, it's just not the same. The love is just not the same. It's not like we tried to replace him, because you can't replace an animal.
No, and you know what? The love for this new dog is going to come. I know that. It's just, you know, the grief just has to move a little. And you don't know, that little dog may be grieving something also. So it may be okay that you all move into an organic, authentic love that's different than the love with Sam. That's
right.
Perfectly great.
I know she looks up at his urn, and I tell her every night that Sam's watching over her, because I have a nightlight that's got Sam's picture in it, and she sleeps in a crate because she's just a puppy. And I tell her, I said, now, you know, if you get scared, Bubba, he'll help you. And she doesn't cry. She's just a very good, she's a little cocker spaniel just like Sam was. And I do believe he communicates with her.
Yeah, I know.
He doesn't
cry. Yeah. And I imagine that once some of the grief subsides, you're going to feel more connection with him too. Because he's right there.
Yeah, I do feel like he's still here with me because I can still see him at night because he slept with me and my husband, and my bed just doesn't feel the same without him.
And her husband,
bed.
Now, Joan, her husband does the same thing. I mean, he's such a gentleman anyhow, but he does the same thing. I mean, yeah, I mean, I've known this caller for many years, so and I know we talk about, you know, what goes on, and she said he kisses the urn too and says I love you and miss you. So, you know, it doesn't have to be a female doing it. A man can do this. A man can feel that way, that it's just devastation, and it's like losing a person. But you're right, Joan. You know, you go through a lot of things with a pet. You know, oh, yeah, they went on the floor and they missed the whatever. Yeah, it's just different, but in a sense it's the same. You have that closeness.
Yeah.
Do you think an animal tells you when it's time to let them go?
Absolutely. Did you feel like you're
struggled
animal?
With that really, really bad because the morning that we took him to a oncologist, we were going to try to save him because he had cancer just come out of nowhere. And we were going to have surgery because we tried to save him. And they told us that it was 2 weeks, that we couldn't do anything because he would have died on the operating table. And the doctor was so, so nice. And she said, you know, you don't want my face to be the last face that he sees.
Hmm.
And she took us into this little room, and it's almost like Sam perked up, but he kept looking at the door every time somebody would open the door. And we were with him till he took his last breath, but I tell you, that was the worst day of my life.
Yep.
But, you know, maybe he perked up so that you would have a really conscious moment that you knew you were all doing the right thing, right? Like, how at least you had a moment of him before he left. And he, like that said, I mean, how brilliant that she said, you don't want my face to be the last face he sees. Like, he got to really be with you in that last moment. That's so powerful.
Yeah, but it was one of the worst moments of my life because it made me question it then. Was he ready to go? Was he trying to tell me, no, Mama, no, Mama, no, Mama?
You know, I have a TEDx talk about, you know, the animals in transition, the rainbow bridge is what it's called. And in there I say, you know, nobody really, when we have enough perspective, we'll see that nobody can die a moment before or a moment after they're supposed to. So there was something collective that happened there that was in agreement, in alignment, that was the moment. And it, of course, you know, questioning and guilt is all part of grief. And as that questioning and guilt starts to go away, then you can have a little bit of peace. But I know that he perked up to say goodbye.
I sure hope that's what it was because I just can't get that visual out of my head.
And I think everybody that has... All dogs are like that, or cats. Go ahead, Joan.
I was going to say that in that situation, I know he did not want you to have your last moment of him being so sick.
He
wanted a connected moment.
He was such a loving little dog.
He didn't want you to see him, you know, he didn't want to leave sickly.
No, he didn't want to, because this hit him all at one time.
Yeah, it was, I remember her telling me, it was like, all of a sudden, I mean, the dog was not sick at all.
Cancer
is so hard.
A very sneaky disease. I mean, and it was on his tonsils, a place that my vet said you would have never, ever caught it.
Yeah. Well, I'm really sorry. You're I totally understand. This is my first Christmas without one of my cats. I can't even put all the decorations up because I'm used to her, like, knocking them down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I remember talking to people for many years, and my mother lost her dog, and she didn't want another one, but I said to my dad, I said, the only way she's going to get through this is in time she needs to get another puppy. Well, my dog had puppies, and she took one of mine. And because you transfer all that love to a new being, and you don't really forget, but for moments all you're thinking about is this little puppy running around, and you're teaching it things, and you're playing with it, and showing it things, and you know, it's the worst thing in the world. I think sometimes it's almost worse than losing a person in your life when you lose a pet.
I agree.
I know it is. I don't think I grieved this much over my mom. I loved my mom, but
yeah,
you know, I got to talk to her, and Sam couldn't talk, but he could talk to me, and I understood him where others couldn't.
Yep, I believe that. Yeah. I really believe that. That's like my Muzi, you know, he's 14, and I talked to the caller. I'm not going to say her name, but I talked to her, and I tell her, I said, that, you know, I would be totally alone without him. My son said to me, well, would you get another kitten? And I said, well, I'm older, and I don't know. Because it probably would outlast me, because this one lasted 14 years, right? And he said, well, he said your granddaughter would probably take it. But, you know, I don't know, and like the caller, you don't know if you should get another one because it will not be the same. And that's how I feel about Muzi, because he's a special cat. Cats can be very independent and not clingy, and it's not like a dog. You know, a dog shows its love all the time, but cats are a little different. And I really don't know although I think to myself, Joan, how would I feel if I didn't have a little pet with me, a little, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I guess you have to do it at that moment in time and see what happens. But for now, I still have him, and I hate to just call her the caller, but she has her little baby now, but it never takes the place of the dog that you love the most in your life. It really doesn't. It doesn't.
No, I love Bailey, my new one, but she's not Sam. But the love is there. She's helping heal my heart. But my heart
sure. Oh, she should see the pictures of this puppy. She'll send me these pictures, Joan. Oh my gosh, she dresses this dog puppy up, and just the sweetest little face. You know, and it makes you just want to hold her and cuddle her but yeah, she's probably healing you. I'm sure she is. And that's why you got her.
Her lips are deceiving. Her little baby teeth are really hard on my ankles. But
Oh, yeah. That's right. Joan, what can she do about that? The puppy bites her ankles.
That sounds like and they probably have little, puppies always have like shark teeth.
Oh, they're razor sharp.
Yeah. One thing that is really great is to massage the gums. And then, believe it or not, there's, I always have a toy. Just shove a toy in the mouth right away. Yeah. But I get after them. You know, I would say, no, leave it.
They do that too.
She'll
stop for a couple minutes, and then it's right back at it. But I try to, when I go out, I usually grab a handful of treats. And when she starts for my ankles, I start giving her treats, and she gets her mind off of it. But she goes
but
right back
to
them. But
you know what you're saying is you get a treat if you bite my ankles.
Right.
Yeah. So she can't do that then, Joan. She's got to change it up.
No. I would have a toy in my hand and put the toy in the mouth. Like, just, I literally shoved the toy in the mouth. Like, you can chew this, you can't chew me.
Right.
The treat is a reward, and reward
That's
for that behavior
too.
Is just going to encourage it.
That's true, too. And it makes me feel better because you're not on my
Yeah,
I've never known a puppy to bite ankles. Now, you know, sometimes if you go at them, you know, I think because they're so playful and they think it's a I don't know what they think. What do they think when they bite somebody's ankle?
She thinks I'm a litter mate, and that's how they played.
Yeah, I think it's just really fun.
Yeah.
Did she come from a big litter?
Yeah, she had about 8 brothers and sisters, and she thought that
was one of the mates. Oh, so Joan, I'm thinking here. Oh, maybe she had to protect herself because maybe one of them went after her.
Yeah, she's the only child now, so.
Yeah.
What do you think, Joan?
They would have. I think that, you know, it's still they would have been playing. Playing, you know, and playing more.
Yeah.
And it's all fun. And except it's not for you. And that's where if you keep giving treats, I mean, basically you've accidentally trained her to do it, to go after your ankles.
This is true.
So you got to change it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But she has a trainer for her now. I mean, I've known this lady, I don't know, 15 years, whatever. But she has a trainer for the dog, for the puppy now.
Right.
Good.
Right.
Well, really, yeah, you know, you really have to teach them. And there is a way. I don't know. I've never had a trainer for a dog. But I guess there really is a way that they, repetition, eventually, I guess they have to be a certain age before you can start, and eventually they're going to know. How does that work? How do you train a puppy not to do certain things or to do certain things? How do you do that?
I mean, in the same way that you would teach a kid to read a book, right? Like, for me, the idea that people don't get trainers is the most insane thing on the planet, because how do we expect them to be good citizens? So it's... you know, they just work with the dog. You teach them one thing, you reward them, and then you repeat it. But there's two ways that they're going to be either reward-based by food, or they're going to be reward-based by love and attention. So, you know, like I have two dogs here that are not food-motivated, and one that is. So I can train the other two just completely by telling them how great they are. And I'm always training even my oldest dog new things. So we, you know, and training often happens through play. Like if you make it really fun, then it's, you know, it's like they, when dogs are playing with each other, they're learning ways to cope. And ultimately, if they were still in the wild, all of that play becomes how they would hunt. So it's very necessary to always play because that's how they learn. So puppies really learn through kind of almost like games.
Yeah. It's just hard. I mean, you know, we try to deter her from the ankles, but she seems to think that, oh, this is fun.
Exactly. No, it's really fun to go after your ankles.
And she's getting you to do something. You're reacting to what she's doing. Well, of course.
You're giving her treats. Yeah, it makes it more
of course
fun.
Of course she is. God, you're hurting my ankles. Like when, you know, like when Muji would bite me, he would attack me, and he'd get this look on his face like, he didn't even know who I was, and I keep talking to him, Mushi, it's me, but it didn't matter. He was bent on, okay, this is an intruder going in to see my mother. Not going to happen. I might be a cat. I might weigh 14 pounds, but I'm going to do my best to deter this intruder. But it took me a while to figure it out.
Yeah.
It's not just a simple...
Well, I'm gonna disconnect, but thank you for your insight. And
yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, honey, I'll talk to you later. Love you.
Right,
thank
right.
you. Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. And I'm going to have to jump, too.
Yes. Well, we're a little after the time, but I'm so glad she called. She must have seen one of the ads because my girl put the ads all over the place. You're everywhere on all my social media, and I have 5 accounts on Facebook. And you, well, yeah. But I want to mention your site before we go and your book, okay? Now, her site is Joan, JoanRanQuet.com. And she's got this book, and the book is called Emotional Freedom Technique for Animals and Their Humans, Creating a Harmonious Relationship Through Tapping. And it's out now, and you can get it anywhere, I'm sure. And it's been such a pleasure talking to you. Oh, my goodness gracious. Now, also, you can look for an article from her. It's going to be in my 25th anniversary. I'm getting a lot of stuff coming in right now. My email is going bloop, bloop. But that's what I want. And her picture will be there and her website will be there. And I'm going to put a link from the show there so they'll be able to listen. And I'm going to be sending you an advert also. Well, I'm going to send it to Angela because I don't have your email address. But I will send it to her to push to you so you can have it if you want to do anything with it, if you want to listen to us and laugh and feel good, because this has been a great, great show. It really has been. Thank you, thank you, thank
you. It's been really fun. Thank you.
Okay, you have an awesome day, and we'll just keep plugging away with our animals, right?
Okay,
Natalie's going to sign off here. No show next week. I took Wednesday off because I think my granddaughter and I are going to be baking cookies, believe it or not. So I don't have one, you know, on the 20th, but we do have a show on the 27th. So with that, I'll say, Joan, you're wonderful. I love you. I really do, and I appreciate
who you
are and what you're doing. Yes, don't stop. Please don't stop.
And I love what you're doing, too. Thank you so much.
Okay, everybody have a great day, and I always end the show the same way, and that is believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And for that, I will see you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.
Bye.